A miracle happened in 1952. I remember so well. I was listening to a recording by Ted and Paul Smith. They were a blind couple. They were singing a duet. And the song was something like this. I'm going higher, higher someday. Now, I've heard all sorts of music before. I've heard rock and roll, and I enjoyed it. But that was before I was converted. I used to enjoy jazz and a bit of opera, a classic here and there. But one Saturday afternoon, when I heard this music, my brother said to me, you know, Ben, why you enjoy that song, don't you? He said, yes. Well, you go to a home, such and such a home, you get some more records there. This chap knows me quite well. And I knew this bloke. He was a gambler, this chap. And I used to go often into his house. And I said, did you say that to that bloke's house? He said, yes, he's converted, you know. Didn't you know that? I said, well, anyway, let me go and find out. When I got there, there was a lady, a missionary lady, a Miss Winnie Hunter. She was from Canada. And she spoke to me, and she asked me, are you Charlie's brother? I said, yes. And she said, Ben, do you know where you're going to when you die? Now, you know, I've never been so embarrassed in all my life. And I've spoken to many people, even where I'm working, and they feel terribly embarrassed when you speak to them about Jesus. I don't know why. But that's how I felt. I was terribly embarrassed. I said, well, I'm a churchgoer. I belong to such and such a church. And my father's a deacon in a church. I was brought up in a church. I said, well, that's not the question I ask you. Do you know where you are going to when you die? I said, well, Miss Hunter, I'm not sure. I don't think anybody can know. Well, I didn't have any answers, you see. So she brought out God's word and she showed me from 1 John chapter 5, from verses 9 to 12. And then she took me to the John's Gospel and she brought out so much evidence. Well, I was amazed. It's the first time in all my life that I went to church that I knew, that I could know that where I could go to one day when I die. And that Saturday afternoon, I'll never forget, it was the second week in March, 1952, I invited the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart. You know, it changed my life. And that's why I like the verse in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, a new life. And the message that our brother Brown preached yesterday tremendously blessed me, because I know what I was before I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior and what He did for me. And that is why I'm singing this song this morning, Great is Thy Faithfulness. It's a wonderful song. It's an old song. I'm sure many of you know it all by heart. But to me, it's still a blessing.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. Sun, moon, and stars in the core. man endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for
just a couple of things I'd like to share with you this afternoon. One of the things that became apparent at the Lausanne Congress this summer was that God's concern is for the world. We all know that from John 3:16, but it has impressed me recently that our emphasis as we think of John 3:16 is usually on the whosoever, meaning you and I, and the wonderful word that any person can come to know Jesus Christ. But you remember that statement says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I am increasingly aware and convinced and convicted of the fact that you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, cannot be in the will of God unless we are concerned for the world. It is wonderful and important that we be concerned about our own local situation, and that's where we begin. And those places further beyond us. But we must also somehow, by the grace of God, get His perspective as He looks at this planet Earth and see the world. At Lausanne, it became apparent that God is working in wonderful ways all over the world, and it was a tremendous sense of encouragement. The church in Latin America, for instance, is growing 3 times faster than the population. In the recent Billy Graham crusade in Brazil, in the final Sunday, there were 225,000 people jammed into that Maracanã stadium in Rio de Janeiro with another 40,000 outside. And at the last minute, the Brazilian government put the entire government television network at their disposal, and that whole nation was reached through one service on all 300 television stations in the country. Incredible to think of that happening in what has been a Catholic country. God is at work. It's estimated by some that by the year 2000, Africa will be predominantly Christian. Now, obviously, and a great many of those would be nominal and syncretistic, but nevertheless, through movements like New Life for All, a variation of evangelism in depth in countries like Nigeria and Ghana and Kenya and so on, a new vision is being imparted. Through the Congress, the Kenyan Christians in East Africa got a vision of reaching the Red Chinese who are in their country by the hundreds, building a railroad from Mombasa on the coast into Uganda. And they realize they have a unique missionary opportunity to reach those whom God has sent within their borders. And it's an exciting thing to think about. In Asia, where perhaps the greatest needs numerically are, nevertheless, there have been breakthroughs among Hindus and in some instances among Muslims. Indonesia you know about, and the Indonesians have sent teams to Pakistan with real impact. And it's been wonderful to see what God is doing. I can think of no greater time to be alive for Jesus Christ as an ambassador for Him than now. More people are open to consider the supernatural than ever before. Now, they're also open to consider the occult and Hare Krishna and all of the offbeat weirdo kinds of things that are going today, but they're also open to consider the gospel. Leighton Ford, the Billy Graham team, told me something very interesting just this last Wednesday. He said he had read in the paper the account of a psychiatrist who had been converted in the Billy Graham New York Crusade in 57 and who, with his psychiatric help, tries to help people spiritually. And he said he was having a remarkable run of atheists who were coming to him for psychiatric help, and one of the symptoms they described of their disease was that they were having doubts about whether atheism was true and that maybe God existed after all, and they wanted psychiatric help. Now, that really is very amusing, and yet it's significant of the way in which God is at work today. And we can be thankful for that, because you and I cannot make people interested. Only God the Holy Spirit can make them interested, but He is. You and I cannot convert people. Only God the Holy Spirit can do that, but you and I, in the name of Christ, can issue the invitation to invite men and women to trust the Spirit. Now, I think the thing we need to get clearly in our own minds here in Australia, at home in the United States, and everywhere, is that while we think about the world and must, evangelism begins at home. We have a saying in the States, to love the world to me is no chore. My big problem's the man next door. And you know, it is amazing that even with the subtleties of being interested in foreign missions, how it can be that we right here at home sometimes never get to the person next door. We send people to Indonesia and to Africa and everywhere, and that's wonderful. But God wants to work through every one of us. He does give the gift of an evangelist to the church, according to Ephesians 4, but He gives every Christian the privilege of being a witness and of being a missionary in the sense of communicating a sent message. And I'd like just to suggest this afternoon that each of us recognize afresh, whatever our age, that God can and will use us evangelistically if we're willing to put ourselves in God's hands. I like to call evangelism the fizz of the Pepsi-Cola of the Christian life. It's really what puts sparkle into it. It's as we see God the Holy Spirit changing men and women before our eyes that we become convinced supernaturalists. The little fellowship that I'm privileged to be part of with Kevin and Eloise and the family has grown out of a number of home Bible studies. And every Sunday when I'm home, just to look around that room and see the people, Big Jim and others, that have been converted in the last year, it does something to me. When's the last time somebody was converted in your assembly? Can you say with the authority of a recent experience, the gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes it, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek? Or has that just become a kind of a Christian slogan that we hope is true, but we haven't really seen a great deal of firsthand evidence of it for ourselves? We can see firsthand evidence if we're willing to be involved in the work of evangelism itself. Now, what does that mean? It means, first of all, personally getting involved. I wonder how many of us this afternoon are even praying by name for at least one non-Christian. Or are you just saying, Lord, bless the gospel meeting? We've got to get some people whose names and phone numbers and addresses we have for whom we are locking horns with the devil for the spiritual struggle of their souls. Lord, who is it you can help me to begin to show the love of Christ to? And as there is opportunity, share with them the good news of the gospel. We've got to be specific rather than general. And as we are specific, we will see God move and answer to prayer. Are you involved personally? Are you involved collectively? Has your assembly ever sat down and thought through what for the next 6 months might be God's will and an evangelistic goal? Or do we just have gospel meetings after gospel meeting praying, Lord, bring them in? You know, that's really an unbiblical prayer. As I read the New Testament, I don't see anywhere that we're to pray that they should come in. The New Testament motif always is go and tell, never, very seldom come in here. And the reason they don't come in here, generally speaking, is because we haven't gone to where they are. If you're going to catch fish, you've got to go where fish are. You know, our Lord said we're to be fishers of men. And if He meant anything, it means we've got to get out where the fish are if we're going to catch fish. And that means doing some thinking together. I understand here in Australia there will be an emphasis on evangelism nationwide in 75, Evangelism 75, or whatever the title is, I'm not quite sure. I saw some of the tools and materials when I met with some of the Australian participants in Lausanne this summer, and they're excellent. You don't have to get involved with anybody you don't agree with. Just for your own assembly, make use of some of the tools and information that are available and think through what God's will for you may be in your particular area. People you could reach that nobody else will reach unless you take the initiative. But sit down and think through some goals and objectives and pray that God the Holy Spirit will move. Sometimes I think we have a false antithesis in our thinking between the work of the Holy Spirit and planning. Planning doesn't squeeze the Holy Spirit out if we are seeking the mind of God. Otherwise, we shouldn't even announce that a meeting is at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Why announce that? That's organization. Why not allow the Holy Spirit to lead everybody to see that the meeting is at 3 o'clock? And you see what I mean? We can become very strange and extreme, it seems to me, in some of our thinking along this line. It's quite obvious that unless the hand of God is on something, nothing happens. But one of the ways God moves is by giving us collectively and individually a vision, a goal, an objective, a plan. We execute it, we evaluate it, and we pray God the Holy Spirit to illuminate. We are always surprised by joy, and oftentimes the Holy Spirit does things without any kind of plan at all. But on the other hand, He frequently leads us to a plan. Gospel literature outreach has some planning to it. Literature crusades has some planning to it. I believe the Holy Spirit led Colin and Kevin in planning those things, but they'd be the first to admit that unless the Holy Spirit empowers it, it means nothing. I'd like to suggest that as we are those to whom much has been given and of whom much shall be required, that each of us this afternoon will think, Lord, what is the next step of faith and obedience for me in evangelism? Not just thinking it's wonderful, but what neighbor can I begin to pray for by name? What business colleague, what student on my campus can I really begin to pray for specifically? Perhaps give a piece of intelligently written gospel literature to and ask God the Holy Spirit to give me opportunity. Then you may think, oh boy, I'd love to do that, but I don't know how. Well, there are all kinds of training tools involved. This material that's available from Evangelism 75 has lots of training tools that will help you get going. And as we together and collectively put ourselves in the hands of God, we can, as instruments in the hands of God, be part of His love for the world, beginning here and then reaching out to the ends of the earth. Because, you know, it's foolish to think about going overseas if God has never used us in being the last link in the chain and introducing someone to the Savior here. We can never cross another culture, learn another language, and invite people to Christ unless it's been the experience that we've had here, giving us the confidence that God can, will work through us. God bless you all. It's been wonderful to hear something of what the Lord has been doing through you all and hear about the gospel literature outreach. I'm sure many of you are involved in this kind of thing, in home Bible studies and others, and I would just encourage you from the world scene, as I had the privilege of seeing it in Lausanne this summer, to be encouraged, to be aware and reminded that God is at work in power. And as we put ourselves in His hands, He will work through us in our situation here and may then well lead us into situations over here where Christ has never yet been named. Thanks very much.